Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, all praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is according to his wisdom. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and He has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Today, inshallah, we will start a series of classes related to the 99 names of Allah. Before we begin, it is important to understand some of the important reasons for studying Allah's names. We will start by hadith of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah the Exalted has 99 names, 100 less one, whoever reserves them, he will enter the paradise. So actually, what is the meaning of this hadith? The meaning of this hadith is that one aspect of faith in Allah is to believe in His names and attributes with which He has described Himself in the Quran, and those attributes and names which were mentioned by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We must believe in these names and attributes without denial, modality, or distortion. Three, knowledge of the names of Allah, the basis for all other knowledge. Actually, there is a great scholar in Islam called Ibn al-Qayyim. Ibn al-Qayyim said, knowledge of the most beautiful names of Allah is the basis of all other kinds of knowledge. All of the other branches of knowledge are devoted to either a command or an action of Allah. What is the meaning of this? It is one of the purposes of our creation to learn Allah's names and attributes as a branch of the belief in Allah. We will learn this from Surah number 65, verse number 12. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahu alladhi khalaqa sab'a samawat wa min al-ardi mithlahun yatanazzalu al-amru baynahun lita'lamu anna Allaha 'ala kulli shay'in qadir wa anna Allaha qad ahata bi kulli shay'in 'ilma.
It is Allah who has created the seven heavens and of the earth like thereof. His command descends between them, that you may know that Allah has power over all things and that Allah surrounds all things in knowledge.
Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, stressed that all teaching should begin with teaching mankind about Allah. All the teaching must start by learning about Allah. When Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, sent a companion to Yemen, he instructed him, saying, you shall come to a people of scripture, so of all things first call them to the worship of Allah, and when they come to know Allah, then you can inform him about the other obligations of Islam. So this is the proof that when you want to learn in Islam, to have knowledge about Islam, you must start by learning about Allah the Almighty. Actually, the same scholar, Ibn al-Qayyim, said, the key to the call of the messengers, the essence of their message is knowing Allah through His names, attributes, and His actions. Because this is the foundation on which the rest of the message from beginning to end is built. Therefore, when a person occupies himself with learning about Allah, he is fulfilling the purpose for which he was created. Clear? But if he ignores this matter, he is neglecting what he was created for. In reality, the meaning of faith is not to utter words without knowing Allah. Rather, true faith is to know your Lord, the one you believe in, the one you worship, and obey His commands. again and again, if we believe that this life is run by Allah the Almighty and we are His slaves, so our life is around the commands of Allah, the obeying of Allah, calling on Allah, asking help from Allah. Okay, so I must know who is Allah so that I will be His slave, so that I will worship Him, so that I will obey His commands. How I will obey His commands if I don't know He deserves this obeyment or not? Okay, how I will obey Him, how I will worship Him? I must know Him, I must know His name and attributes so that I will be convinced to have Him as my Lord and to worship Him and only Him. Okay. So the rule is that the more you learn about your Lord, the more you increase in faith. Thus it is that we have been commanded to know Allah's names and attributes. It is a command in the Quran to know about Allah's names and attributes. And we will have some examples from the Quran. We will start by Surah number 2, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 231. Now from many verses of Quran, the rule that Allah is mentioning in the Holy Quran, you must know your Lord and you must know His names. Okay, so when you find the word "and know," this is a command from Allah. Okay, so we will read now, وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. And fear Allah and know that Allah is all aware of everything.
Okay. And fear Allah and know that Allah is all aware of everything.
So Allah the Almighty is commanding all of us to know that He is aware of everything. This is one of attributes of Allah. We will read now from Surah number 5, verse number 98. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واعلموا أن الله شديد العقاب وأن الله غفور رحيم.
Know that Allah is severe in punishment and that Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful.
So again, it is a command which Allah said, know that, okay, this is a command from Allah that we must learn about His attributes. We will read also from Surah number 65, verse number 12. Conclusion, truly understood who Allah is, you would never worship anyone else. Okay, when you know who is Allah, when you know that Allah is the most powerful, Allah is the sustainer, Allah is the provider, Allah is the owner of everything, Allah is the creator of everything, Allah is the controller of everything, Allah is the planner of everything. When you know all of this about Allah, when you know the names and attributes of Allah, immediately, okay, you will worship none but Allah. Okay, this is actually the true belief in Islam. Okay, this is because knowledge of Allah's creation, okay, when you know that Allah is the creator, Allah is the one who has all the mercy, when you know all of His beautiful names and attributes, which we will, inshallah, learn in these classes, you will love Allah and you will fear Allah, the Almighty. Okay, accordingly, you will realize the great qualities of majesty which only Allah possesses. Okay. Number 5, regarding why we are learning about the names of Allah, is that when we learn the names of Allah, we will call upon Allah with His names. And this is a command from Allah the Almighty. Calling upon Allah, praising Him by these names is one of the greatest deeds and best forms of remembrance of Allah. When you want to remember Allah through mentioning His names and attributes, and at the same time, we must call on Allah by this name. This is a command of Allah which is mentioned in Surah number 7, verse number 108. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لله الأسماء الحسنى فادعوه بها وذروا الذين يلحدون في أسمائه سيجزون ما كانوا يعملون.
And the most beautiful names belong to Allah, so call on Him by them and leave the company of those who belie or deny His names. they will be requited for what they used to do.
Actually, this is a command from Allah the Almighty to all His servants to call on Him by His names and attributes, because actually this will make a link between the slave and Allah the Almighty, and this is a proof that the servant knows about Allah, he knows about His power, about His majesty, accordingly he is using the names of Allah to call in Him. Actually, in practice, okay, when we call on Allah by His names, for example, when you call on Allah and say to Allah, "Oh Allah, you are the most merciful, mercy is up to you. I am looking forward for your mercy." Okay? This will give you a lot of hope that the most merciful will shower you with His mercy. Okay? And actually, this will give you also a lot of hope that through Allah's mercy there will be an end for your trial. Okay? For example, if you feel that you are very weak and there are people whom they are planning to harm you, then you call on Allah, "Oh Allah, you are the most powerful. Okay, none has the power, none can defeat me, none can defeat you, so you are my shelter." Okay, when you call on Allah with His names, you will feel the meaning of these names in your spirit, and you will feel the majesty of Allah the Almighty, and you will feel that only Allah is the one whom I am supposed to call on Him, because Allah is the most powerful, Allah is the most merciful, Allah is the one taking care of everything, and inshallah we will learn about all His names. So actually, when you call on Allah with His names, this is a message of encouragement and hope to your spirit, and this is a message of the true belief in Allah. You are sending it to Allah the Almighty. Learning number 6 about why we are learning the names and attributes of Allah is that learning the names and attributes of Allah is the way to love Allah the Almighty. Okay? Because you can ask yourself a question: how can I love Allah if I don't know Him? Okay, for example, if a sister will come and tell me, "Sister Daniel is a very..." If someone will come and tell me, "I want you to love Sister Daniel." Okay, I will tell her, "I don't know Daniel. How I will know her? I don't know her characters, I don't know her manners, I don't know anything about her. If I come to know her, and if she proved to me that she deserves my love through her manners and values, I will love Daniel. I must know Daniel first before loving her." This is the same for Allah the Almighty. Okay, how I will love Allah if I don't know who is Allah, if I don't know His names and attributes? So to love Allah, you must learn His names and His attributes. Okay, number 7 regarding why we are learning about the names of Allah is that we learn Allah's names and attributes. When you learn them, you must know that learning the names and attributes of Allah is the most important of all the subjects in the Quran. Okay, what is the most important subject of the Quran? The most important subject in the Quran is to believe in Allah, the Almighty. Okay, the oneness of Allah. This is life, this is Islam, this is the Quran, this is everything. The belief in the oneness of Allah. Okay, through His names and attributes. Accordingly, the most important subject in the Quran is related to the names and attributes of the names of attributes of Allah. When Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was asked, "What is the greatest verse of the Quran?" Okay, he answered, "It is verse number 255 from surah number 2, which is called Ayat al-Kursi." Okay, Surah al-Baqarah, surah number 2, verse number 255. Okay, let us read this verse of the Quran, because this is the greatest verse of the Quran, and it is related to the names and attributes of Allah the Almighty. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم.
الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم. Neither slumber nor sleep overtakes him. To him belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on the earth. Who is he that can intercede with him except with his permission? He knows what happens to them in this world and what will happen to them in the hereafter. And they will never compass anything of his knowledge except that which he wills. His kursi extends over the heavens and the earth, and he feels no fatigue in guarding and preserving them. And he is the Most High, the Most Great.
Okay. So actually, sisters, when you recite this verse of the Quran, actually, it is advised that you recite this verse of the Quran when you go to bed. Okay? Because actually, it will protect you from the shaitan. Okay? Now I will divide for you this verse of the Quran into 10 statements. Try to, divide it with me so that, you know, you will realize why this is the, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the greatest verse of the Quran. Okay, we will divide it now into 10 parts. Part number 1, Allah la ilaha illa huwa. None has the right to be worshipped but Allah. This is number 1. Okay? Number 2, the ever living, the one who sustains and protects all that exists. These are the attributes of Allah, which are only to Allah. The ever living is only Allah. All human beings die, and Allah does not die. Allah is the ever living. We are all living, but not ever. The ever is only Allah, the Almighty, and the one who sustains and protects all that exists. You can protect your kids, you can protect your family, but you cannot protect all that exists regarding what is in the heavens and in the earth. This is only to Allah. Number 3, neither slumber nor sleep overtakes him. All the human beings, they sleep. Okay, whether animals or human beings, they all sleep. Allah, the Almighty, neither slumber nor sleep. This is number 3. Number 4, to him belongs whatever is in the heaven and whatever is on the earth. Allah is the owner of everything, and Allah is the sole owner. None of us owns anything in this life. Whatever we have in this life is just a trust from Allah for the sake of the test of the worldly life. The only owner is Allah, the Almighty. Number 5, who is he that can intercede with him except with his permission? None can intercede with Allah except with Allah's permission. This is number 5. Number 6, Allah knows what happens to all his creatures in the world and what will happen to them in the hereafter. Okay, none of us knows except what is happening to me and my family and my relatives and whoever I can reach through the Facebook. Okay, this is all my knowledge in the worldly life. Okay, other than after, beyond the Facebook, I don't have any other knowledge. Okay, this is my limitation. Allah the Almighty knows what happens to all the creature in this world and in the hereafter. Number 7, they will never compass anything of his knowledge except that which he wills. Okay, all the knowledge on the earth are the knowledge of Allah. He is allowing to the human beings to learn very little of this knowledge, okay, according to his permission. Okay, so the all-knower is Allah the Almighty. The all-owner is Allah the Almighty. The all-controller is only Allah the Almighty. And then number 8, his kursi, in Arabic means chair. Okay, but related to Allah, we don't know. Okay, but his kursi extends over the heavens and the earth. This is number 8. Number 9, he feels no fatigue in guarding and preserving all his creatures. All the human beings feel fatigue, okay, when we work for three consecutive days. Okay, but Allah the Almighty never feels the fatigue. And number 10, Allah is the most high, the most great. Okay, so...
I have one question. There was one sister, we were going over the meaning of the Quran, of this ayat, and we wanted to know the meaning of the ard. Is ard the earth?
The earth. Related to the fact that the most important of all subjects in the Quran is related to the names of Allah. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said the best chapter or surah in the Quran is Surah Al-Fatiha. Let us read about Surah Al-Fatiha. I think all of you memorize Surah Al-Fatiha because you recite it while you are in the prayer. Otherwise, you are not praying. Okay. All of you know Surah Al-Fatiha. I will recite Surah Al-Fatiha.
In English?
In Arabic.
Oh, okay.
You must recite it in Arabic in the Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah ar-Rabbil alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maliki yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdina siratal mustaqim. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين.
جزاك الله خير. Thank you very much. Again, sisters, if we try to analyze Surah Al-Fatiha quickly, okay, it started by Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, all praise to Allah, the Lord of Al-Alameen, mankind, jinn, and all that exists. In verse number one, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay, in the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim are names of Allah. We will learn the meaning of them in full details, inshallah, in the coming classes. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Then in verse number four, Maliki yawm al-Din. Okay, this is also one of attributes of Allah, inshallah. We will learn it. Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So this verse of the Quran is clarifying that all the meaning of the Quran is in Surah Al-Fatiha, okay? Because it contains the praise, all praises and thanks to Allah, because Allah is the most gracious, the most merciful. Allah is the owner of the Day of Judgment. You alone we worship and you alone we ask for help. This is the proof of the belief in the oneness of Allah. And then we call on Allah to guide us to the straight way, a proof of the belief in the oneness of Allah, because you only call on Him. This is the belief in His oneness of worship. So this is Surah Al-Fatiha, which is the best surah of the Quran. Again, it is related to the names and the attributes of Allah. Also, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said Surah number 112, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ, equals to 1/4 of the Quran. Okay, now we will read also قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. بِسْمِ
اللَّهِ الرَّحِيمِ. هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ, اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ, لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا احد.
صدق الله العظيم. So again, oh yes, I want you to listen.
In the name of Allah, the most gracious, most merciful, say O Muhammad, He is Allah the One, Allah who summoned, Allah the self-sufficient master, whom all creatures need. He neither eats nor drinks, He begets not nor was He begotten, and there is none co-equal or comparable to Him.
Okay, so again, sister, this is Surah number 112. It is called the purity or the sincerity, and it is related to Allah the Almighty. Okay, say, O Muhammad, He is Allah. Okay, Allah is the self-sufficient master. Okay, Allah begets not, nor was He begotten, and no one is comparable to Allah the Almighty. It is all related to attributes of Allah, and it is equal to 1/4 of the Quran, a proof of the importance of learning about the names and attributes of Allah. Okay, so now in summary, why we are learning the names and attributes of Allah? Number one, because it is inshallah our way to the paradise. Okay, number two, because it is the most noble of all sciences. Number three, because it is the basis for all other knowledge. Number four, because calling upon Allah and praising Him by His name is one of the greatest deeds, and we are commanded to call on Allah by His name. Okay. Number five, it is one of the purposes of our creation is to learn Allah's names and attributes, a branch of the belief in Allah. We must learn because it is one of the purposes of our creation is to worship Allah. Allah created us to worship Him. So in to worship Allah, for the goal of worshiping Allah, we must know the branches of the belief in Allah, and one of them is to believe in His names and attributes. Regarding number six, learning the names of Allah is the way to love Allah. This is number six. And number seven, when we learn the names of Allah, we must name the names and attributes of Allah, as this is the most important of all the subjects in the Holy Quran. Okay? So these are the seven reasons why we must learn about the names of attributes of Allah the Almighty. Okay, now we will learn about some of misconceptions surrounding the 99 names of Allah before learning these names. Okay, you will find a lot of books and a lot of incorrect hadiths of Prophet or sayings of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, related to the fact that when you recite these names in certain combination, this will produce certain benefits. This is wrong. Okay, someone will tell you, if you say, for example, the Most High 1,000 times, all your problems will be solved. Okay, I can give you a lot of examples for this. I have a book with this. Okay, all of this is wrong. Okay, you learn the names of Allah for the goals which we just learned now, the seven reasons. Okay, and the most important is to know your Lord, to love your Lord. Okay, we are learning the names to know Him, to love Him, to obey Him, to have a way to the paradise, to become close to the Holy Quran. This is why I am learning the name of Allah and to call on Him with His names as He commanded me, obeying His command. Okay, but not for the sake of the fact that, you know, I am memorizing the names of Allah so that I will have some combinations, okay, which will produce certain benefits. This is wrong. Okay, this practice has no basis in any hadith, not even in a weak hadith. Also, this goes against the way. This goes against the way and the way of the Quran and the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which taught us that we can make dua with these names. We are learning so that we can call on Allah with these names. Okay. Now we will learn about deviation regarding Allah's names. Okay, or deviation concerning Allah's names. Okay, we will now learn the meaning of one of the verses of the Quran which we just read. Because I need because you are reverse sisters, I want you to realize the meaning of this verse of the Quran and to learn about deviation. This is not misconception, this is the deviation concerning Allah's name. We will read now again Surah number 7, verse number 110. الرحمن الرحيم ولله الأسماء الحسنى فادعوه بها وذروا الذين يلحدون في أسمائه سيجزون ما كانوا يعملون.
And the most beautiful names belong to Allah, so call on Him by them and leave the company of those who belie or deny His names. They will be requited for what they used to do.
Okay. So actually, I want to clarify to you the meaning of this. This is a command from Allah Number one, to call on him by his name and to leave the company of those who practice deviation concerning Allah's name. The word in Arabic, I said, yulhiduna. Okay, what is the meaning of ilhad in Arabic? In Arabic, ilhad means to incline or to turn aside. What is the meaning of this? Okay, it is used in this verse of the Quran and in other verses of the Quran to denote towards some falsehood. Okay, ilhad concerning Allah's names is to deviate from the correct belief towards them. Okay, there is a correct belief towards Allah's name and there is incorrect belief towards Allah's name. Okay, which is deviation. Okay, deviation towards Allah's name can be divided into the following categories. This is very important, sister, as true believers in the oneness of Allah. This is a must regarding the belief in the oneness of Allah. Not to deviate, okay, towards the belief in Allah's name. Okay, deviation can be divided into the following categories. Number one, to reject Allah's names or some of them. So this sister, if I tell you Allah is the just, okay, sister can come and tell me, Sister Mona, all my life is full of problems. I never feel it in reality that Allah is just with me. This is deviation towards Allah's name. This is against the belief in the oneness of Allah. Okay? This sister had a problem regarding the belief in the oneness of Allah. And this is extremely serious. Okay? I must believe that Allah is the just. Whether I like it or don't like it, I feel it or I don't feel it, this is the reality. If you don't feel it, this means that you have a problem. Not Allah is not just. No, you have a problem regarding the belief in the oneness of Allah. You have a problem regarding the evaluation of your life problems. Okay? So, number one is to reject Allah's names or some of them. Number two, to derive names of Allah that don't befit him, such as Father. Okay? You cannot say Allah is my Father. No, Allah is not, this is not one of the names of Allah. So number two, to derive names of Allah that don't befit him. Okay? Number three, to deny or distort things, or to claim they have no meaning. When I tell you, sister, Allah is, you know, Allah is the most merciful, Allah is all-powerful, you tell me, Sister Mona, I cannot understand the meaning. It is not clear to my mind, okay? I deny the meaning, not the name, okay? When I will clarify to you the meaning of the names of Allah. So to deny or distort or to claim they have no meaning, okay? Number four, to consider them to be like human attributes, okay? This is very dangerous. Okay, Allah is Allah, the Almighty, the One, okay, our Lord. Okay, I cannot consider Allah's name to be like human attributes. Okay, I cannot say I am very merciful like Allah, the most merciful. What is this? Okay, this is deviation of the names of Allah. Number five, to name idols or other beings with the names of Allah or the derivative. Because there was an idol called Al-Uzza, okay? And this is derived from Al-Aziz. So this is forbidden, this is deviation, to name idols or other beings with the names of Allah. Okay? These are the categories of deviation in the belief concerning Allah's name. I will repeat them again. Number one, to reject Allah's names or some of them. Number two, to derive names of Allah that don't befit him. Number three, to deny or distort their meanings or to claim they have no meaning. Number four, to consider them to be like human attributes. And number five, to name idols or other beings with the names of Allah or their derivatives, such as idol called Al-Uzza, which is derived from Al-Aziz. Okay. Today, inshallah, sisters, we will learn a supplication which Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, taught us. And it is related to the importance of learning the names of Allah, the Almighty. Okay? And actually, Prophet Muhammad, that peace be appointed, no person suffered any anxiety or grief and says, O Allah, I am your slave, son of your slave, son of your female slave. My forelock is in your hand. Your command over me is forever executed, and your decree over me is just. I ask you by every name belonging to you, which you named yourself with, or revealed in your book, or you taught to any of your creation, or you have preserved in the knowledge of the unseen with you, that you make the Quran the life of my spirit, and the light of my chest, and the departure of my sorrow, and the release of my anxiety, but Allah will take away his sorrow and grief, and give him in their stead joy. Okay? So this is a supplication which we are commanded, okay, to call on Allah with this supplication. And if you call on Allah with this supplication, okay, while you have anxiety and grief, Allah the Almighty will take away your sorrow and your grief, and Allah will give you instead joy and happiness. So this means that this is a very important supplication to learn and to understand. Okay, so that when you call on Allah with any supplication, sister, you must be convinced that you are in need of this supplication. Not just to call on Allah with your tongue, you must call on Allah with your heart. Okay? To call on Allah in your heart, this means that I am convinced that I am in need of Him, and I am convinced that inshallah this supplication will work for me, and inshallah all my sorrow and my grief will leave me, and I will have inshallah the feeling of joy and happiness and tranquility. Okay? This supplication, sisters, if you... This supplication is a very important one regarding the belief in the oneness of Allah, the importance of the Quran, how to have a relation with the Quran. It is a very important supplication, actually. Okay, it can be divided into four parts. Part number one, O Allah, I am your slave, son of your slave, son of your female slave. When you call on Allah with this sister, you are admitting that you are Allah's slave. Okay? And actually, you are admitting that all your parents were Allah's slaves, and this is the reality of all mankind. Okay? That all of us are the slaves of Allah. The fact which was proven in the Quran. Okay? I will give you now the proof that from the Holy Quran that every one of us is a slave to Allah the Almighty. Okay? At the beginning, we will learn that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, the most beloved to him, the one whose name is mentioned in Ash-Shahada. When you say, when you become a Muslim, okay, you say, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Okay, so this clarifies how Prophet Muhammad is very important to Allah. He is mentioned whenever Allah is mentioned. Okay, when the call of prayer will be heard now, okay, you will hear the name of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So this is clarifying how Prophet Muhammad is very special to Allah, but in all the verses of the Quran, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is mentioned as my slave. This is Prophet Muhammad. Okay, we will read now from Surah number 17, verse number 1. We will read many verses of the Quran so that you will be clear regarding being a slave to Allah the Almighty. Okay, so long Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is a slave, I am also a slave to Allah the Almighty. Surah number 17, verse number 1. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Subhana alladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-harami ila al-masjid al-aqsa alladhi barakna hawlahu linuriyahu min ayatina innahu huwa as-sami'u al-basir.
Rahim. Glorified and exalted be He, Allah, above all the evil that they associate with Him, who took His slave Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam,
for a journey by night from El Masjid Al Haram at Mecca to El Masjid Al Aqsa in Jerusalem, the neighborhood where we had blessed, in order that we might show him Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam of our ayat revelations. Verily, he is the all-hearer and all-seer.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا.
All the praises and thanks be to Allah, who has sent down to his slave the book, has not placed therein any crookedness.
Now we will read again, sister, from Surah number 25, verse number 1. I am giving you many verses of the Quran so that it will be clear to you that whenever Prophet Muhammad was called by Allah, he was called as my slave. Okay? So now we will read from Surah number 25, verse number 1. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم تبارك الذي نزل الفرقان على عبده ليكون للعالمين نذيرا.
Blessed be he who sent down the criterion to his slave, that he may be a warner to the alameen.
Also, Allah the Almighty called all the mankind as His slaves in many verses of the Quran. We will read now from Surah number 15, verse number 42, to realize that I am a slave, I am your slave, the son of your slave, the son of your female slave. Surah number 15, verse number. Let's move to Surah number 25, number 63. Surah number 25, verse number 6. Rahman Rahim, وعباد الرحمن الذين يمشون على الأرض هونا وإذا خاطبهم الجاهلون قالوا سلاما.
And the slaves of the Most Gracious are those who walk on the earth in humility and sedateness. And when the foolish address them, they reply back with mild words of gentleness.
What is the meaning of being Allah's slave? The meaning of being Allah's slave, when I admit that I am the slave of Allah, this means that I must obey His commands. I must only ask Him. I must only call on Him. I must only trust Him and depend on Him. My heart must be all the time connected with Him. Number two, I must believe that all the blessings are from Him. Only because I am His slave and He is my master, He is the Lord of the heaven and the earth. And I also must believe that I don't own anything, rather Allah owns everything. Allah owns me and all what I have. Okay? This is the meaning of believing that you are the slave of Allah the Almighty. So this is part one of the Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim of this supplication. Part two, my forelock is in your hand. Your command over me is forever executed, and your decree over me is just. Okay, it consists, this part two consists of two parts. Okay, part number one is related to the fact that Allah's command over us is forever executed. What is the meaning of these sisters? The meaning of this sister is that Allah is holding every creature that walks on the earth by its forelock. Okay, we will read this fact from the Holy Quran, Surah number 11, verse number 56, to be sure that I am a slave of Allah and all my matters up to Him. Allah is controlling everything related to me, all my affairs, and all the creatures whom they are on the earth, whether human beings or animals. Surah number Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. إني توكلت على الله ربي وربكم ما من دابة إلا هو آخذ بناصيتها إن ربي على صراط مستقيم.
I put my trust in Allah, the Lord. I'm sorry. I put my trust in Allah, my Lord, and your Lord. There is not a moving creature, but He has the grasp of its forelock. Verily, my Lord is on the straight path.
Okay, so what is the meaning of this, sister? The meaning of this is that all my destiny is only up to Allah. Okay? I cannot bring about my anything related to my birth, my provision, my death, my resurrection, everything related to me and all creatures is only up to Allah the Almighty. We are all dependent on our Creator, the Sustainer, the Lord. Actually, our existence is subject to what Allah decrees, and Allah is the one controlling everything. Okay? So, number one, we believe that all our matters are only up to Allah, the controller of everything. And number two, Allah is just. Okay? Accordingly, okay, how this part of the supplication can help me in relation to believe in the oneness of Allah? Okay? Part of the supplication, okay, regarding being servant to Allah, okay, this means that whatever Allah decreed for me, you know, it will come to reality. I can't escape any of the decree of Allah, okay, and I can rebel it, okay. This is a very important fact, sister, so that you will not be upset regarding facts or events in your life. You cannot escape anything, you cannot change anything, you cannot rebel anything, because all the matters and affairs are only controlled by Allah the Almighty. Okay? Your husband is chosen by Allah in reality. Your kids are chosen by Allah. Your job is chosen by Allah. Okay? Allah the Almighty is the one who is behind all your affairs. This is the reality which every one of us must realize and must believe in. Okay? You cannot change the one whom you married. Okay? You cannot say it was my mistake that I married that person. That person was decreed for you 50,000 years before the creation of the earth. Okay? He will become your husband under any circumstances. Okay? You like it, well and good. You don't like it, it is your problem. Okay? So this is how we must feel the power of Allah, the control of Allah, the decree of Allah, the Almighty. So that I realize in reality that I am just a slave. Not more than a slave regarding Allah, the Almighty, the just. This is very important to believe that Allah is the just. Okay, that you are not oppressed by Allah. You are not oppressed by the decree of Allah. You are the one whom always the problems are coming to you. Or you are the target of the problems of the worldly life. There are some people, or a lot of people, whom they always believe that they are the target of the problems, of Allah's problems. When Allah wants to make a problem, He will give it to me. Okay, how come you believe that He is just and all the problems are for you, Sister Rashida? You look very upset. It's okay. Allah is the just. Everything is all right. Alhamdulillah. Okay, we will move to part three. Calling on Allah by all His names, okay, a proof that the names of Allah are very important to call on Allah by them. Okay? And you are calling by Allah, by His names, because this is the dearest to Allah and most worthy of immediate reply, because it proves the servant's knowledge and recognition of his Lord. When you call on Allah by His names and attributes, sister, this means that you know your Lord, okay, and you recognize Him and you have the knowledge about Him, and this is the most worthy of the immediate reply to your call on Allah the Almighty. This is number three. Number four, okay, all of this supplication is for one goal. What is the goal? Okay, you make the Quran the life of my spirit. I am calling on Allah with this supplication for the sake of making the Quran the life of my spirit. Okay, what is the meaning and what is the importance for me now? I have grief and I am sad and I am upset. Okay, why I am not calling on Allah make for me an outlet from my problem? Instead, I am calling on Allah to make the Quran the life of my spirit. Why? Okay, this is a very important question so that you will be convinced with this supplication. I am calling on Allah the Almighty to make the Quran the life of my spirit. This means that I am calling on Allah to send for me hope, peace and tranquility so that my spirit will be still alive all the time. You know, sisters, when you have great hardship, sometimes you feel that your spirit is dead. You are not interested in anything. You don't want to live this life. You are not happy with anything and everything. I am dead, in reality. My body is alive, but my spirit is dead. Okay? Accordingly, in this supplication, we are calling on Allah that whenever we have any problem, O Allah, make the Quran the life of my spirit. That is to say, the source of the life of my spirit. That is to say, make the Quran to make my spirit alive during the hardship. How? By receiving the messages of hope, reassurance, tranquility, peace from the Quran during the hardship. This is the only way to save you during the hardship is this book. Why? Because the Quran is the words of Allah. And Allah is the controller of everything. So if I connect correctly with the Quran, the words of Allah, Allah the controller will make for me an outlet. Okay, how to connect correctly with the book of Allah to make it the life of my heart? What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this, when you tell me, Sister Mona, you are sad, you have problems, I tell you, yes, sister, I have problems. All of us have problems, but I am not sad, inshallah. Why? Because the Quran is the life of my spirit. Because during the darkness of any hardship, the Quran is giving me hope. It's giving me reassurance. It's giving me trust. It's getting me up. Through the Quran, I am always up, even in the deep darkness of any hardship. Accordingly, I am always calling on Allah to make the Quran the life of my heart. This is the meaning of this part of the supplication, sister, because during the darkness of any hardship, okay, we always lose hope in anything and everything. And we always believe that there is no solution at all. Total darkness. All the doors are blocked and there is no outlet. I am totally lost. Okay? And this is actually, sister, very dangerous for your spirit. This is the way to severe depression. Okay? Gradually, when you have this feeling in the morning, then at night, then for 3 days, you are in your way to depression. The problem of depression is that you can have depression easily, but to be out of depression, this is extremely difficult. So we want to prevent depression. How can I prevent depression? Why life, worldly life, is a test full of hardship through the Holy Quran. Through this supplication, make the Holy Quran the life of my spirit. Whenever I am in the darkness of any hardship, I will get your words, I will recite them, they will give me life in my heart, they will take my mood up, they will give me the hope, they will push me out of the darkness of my problem, and they will send, the Holy Quran will send for me the message that the most powerful, the most merciful, the most high will take care of you. Okay, there are many verses of the Quran. I can mention it to you now. I will mention to you one verse only of the Quran, okay, or two verses which are mentioned in the chapter of divorce. Divorce is a big hardship or trial for any woman. Under any circumstances, even if she is the one whom she was looking for divorce, still divorce is a hardship. Okay? But Allah the Almighty in the chapter of hardship is sending a lot of messages of hope and encouragement. So that the Quran will be always the light of my heart. In spite of the fact, you know, I am in the darkness of the hardship, but when I recite these two verses of the Quran, I feel that there is light, there is hope, I can move. Life will continue. Something good will happen. Allah is with me. Allah will take care of me. There is a chance of good news. Okay, we will recite these two verses of the Quran so that we always call on Allah to make the Quran the life of our spirit. Remember these two verses of the Quran to memorize their meaning even in English and remind yourself with them whenever you are in the darkness of any hardship or trial. I will read it in Arabic and you can read this one in English, the part, and the rest of verse number 3. Okay? Okay. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب ومن يتوكل على الله فهو حسبه إن الله بالغ أمره قد جعل الله لكل شيء قدرا.
And whosoever fears Allah and keeps his duty to him, he will make a way for him to get out, and he will provide him from he never could imagine. And whosoever puts his trust in Allah, then he will suffice him. Verily, Allah will accomplish his purpose. Indeed, Allah has set a measure for all things.
Tawheed.
Okay.
And this talks about seeking the pleasure of Allah and seeking the face of Allah.
Okay.
And so I know we're not supposed to compare Allah with any human or anything like that. So can you just give more meaning about when they say seeking the face of Allah? Can you explain? Because we know that Allah doesn't have face like humans, so
yes.
When they say it means more like seeking the pleasure of Allah.
No, no,
so
I tell
can
you,
okay, explain this part.
I tell you, actually, the word face in Arabic, you know, it's just, you know, it's just a word, okay, to give you the meaning that it is the pleasure of Allah. Mm-hmm. Okay, it is the meaning, an Arabic word which has the meaning of pleasure of Allah. Okay, but we use it like in Arabic. This is part of the Arabic language.
Right.
The face of Allah. Mm-hmm. But this doesn't have any meaning in English.
Right. Does Allah have a face?
Yes, Allah has a face. But these issues, we are supposed
it's
not to discuss.
It's nothing like humans, though.
Yes,
nothing.
Nothing
compared to humans.
Yes, but we are supposed not to try to know about this, okay? Because, you know, it is confusing and there is no benefit, okay? But just it is for the sake of Allah.
Right.
So for the dua for the Eid, when we read it, do we need to read the Quran along with it to make it the light of our heart? And, do you get what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, over here it says to make the Quran the life of my spirit.
Yes.
So when I read this dua, do I need to read the Quran at the same time, or can I just say it on its own?
No, just say it.
Okay.
You just say the dua. Okay, but you believe that you must connect with the Quran all the time so that the Quran will become the light of your spirit. You cannot say this dua and then daily you don't have any connection with the Quran. You get my point? But you say the dua, then you plan to connect with the Quran so that inshallah it will be the light of your heart. Okay? بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. O Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. O Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all love in us and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fear in us. O Allah, controller of the hearts, keep our hearts firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success in the day of judgment, on the day of judgment, and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds, our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life, our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials in lifetime and after death. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen.